Shasha, the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem.
On
how are you?
On this white morning.
On this white morning. But, you know, this is white is pure.
White is pure.
It's heavenly. So, yeah. You know, thank God.
So, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
That's right.
Parshat Lech Lecha.
So now, Lech Lecha, if you think about it, we got to go out of our comfort zone of the sun, of the nice, beautiful weather, and go into something that's a little more colder. But that's the way life goes, and that's the way our life is. It's when we're constantly moving and changing. And if we go and look, we see in this week's Torah portion, God speaks to Abraham, Avram, because his name wasn't changed yet to Avraham.
Yeah.
And he commands him. He says, go from your land, Lech lecha me'artzecha, me'moladetecha, me'beit avicha, el'aret, and you should go from your birthplace, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. God doesn't tell him now where it is. He says, I'll show you. Just leave. And I always ask the question to people, if I come to you and I tell you, Ilan, you got to get up now and just go. Leave.
Yeah.
And you ask me to where? I will show you. Don't worry. Just go. Most people will start to think and say, hold on a second. What am I doing here? Where am I going? It doesn't make sense. And God says that he will make you into a great nation. And obviously many, many things that go on in this Torah portion. A famine forces the first Jews to depart for Egypt, where his beautiful wife Sarai, because she's not changed yet to Sarah,
yeah,
is taken into Pharaoh's palace. And then when they escape, he presents himself as, this is a brother and sister, and obviously the king is so mad, how can you do something like that to me, so on and so forth. We still see that childless still, after 10 years of their arrival in the land, Sarai tells Abraham to go and marry his maidservant Hagar, Hagar.
Hagar.
Hagar conceives and becomes, and she has a son named Ishmael. Which was born 86 years the age of Abraham when he had that. And then 13 years later, we see that God changes Abraham's name to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, and says that you will obviously have a child, and the child is going to be the name of. Sorry, at such an old age, and they left, and so on and so forth, it's going to be the name of Isaac, and Abraham is commanded to circumcise, so on and so forth. That's in a nutshell. But something that I saw, something so interesting, I was reading last night. The Medrash, an explanation on this week's Torah portion, relates a very fascinating episode, which we talked about of Abraham and Sarai going to the land. And it says that when Abraham traveled through various cities, he observed the people engaging in excessive eating, drinking, you know, frivolous things. And he says, I do not want to have any part of this land. Then when Abraham arrived at the mountain surrounding the north of the land of Israel, he saw all the inhabitants engaged in pruning during the season of pruning, plowing during the season of plowing, and Abraham declared and he said, I wish that I could have a lot in this land. And what do we know that happened? God told Abraham, to your offspring, I will give you this land. The Zaracha, that's Nana at the Arab. So if you think about it, or think about this Medrash, it made me start to think, and a bunch of questions came to mind, which, once we answer these questions, we'll realize and say, wow, this is actually the journey of a person's life. Number one, what was it about the agricultural labor in the land of Canaan, which was not Israel known then, that inspired Abraham to fall in love, so to speak, with the country? Number two, the fact that God promised this land to Abraham for all his children as the eternal homeland for the Jewish nation, which is Israel today, indicates that the agriculture nature of the country's inhabitants somehow captures the legacy of Judaism. So what is so unique? And what is the unique connection between Judaism and farming? Third, we see there are so many different aspects to farming and so many different labors associated with farming. But Abraham was impressed by the two labors of pruning and plowing. Why those specific? And lastly, the order in the Midrash that I said seems wrong. The work of plowing, cutting, and turning up the soil to make it fertile for production has to precede the work of pruning. Because the work of pruning is removing the weeds, harmful vegetation from the midst of the beneficial produce. And it takes place only after the plowing season. Yet, the first thing that we see, that it first is the first season of pruning, and then the labor of plowing. Why? So if you go and look, and I think this is one of the most important lessons that we can have, the essence of Jewish experience consists of two phases, pruning and plowing. Every human being is a garden containing, you know, his or her psyche of weeds, roses, and man is given this ability and vision of God and a mountain of dust, a ray of infinity, and each of us operates on two levels of consciousness. A self-centered consciousness to make us prone to immoral behavior, and a transcendental divine consciousness, which is the source of our ethical and spiritual yearnings and convictions. And our mission of life consists of pruning, of removing the weeds from the roses, which means we must ensure that the mountain of dust does not cover over the vision of God. And each day of our lives, we are called challenge the forces of darkness in our psyche and to cultivate the plants of light and godliness within our hearts. So life, in essence, is a daily battle for transcendence, of trying to get better. And on our own, we are a complex mixture of good and negative forces which are competing within us, a constant war. And our choice and calling is to prune, to constantly cultivate the pure dimension in our psychological garden, to reign in the beast and to reveal the divine. Make sure which one is going to be the most dominant. And this work impressed Abraham deeply. But this was not all, because he was even more moved by the philosophy and a lifestyle in which the season of plowing followed the season of pruning. Mm-hmm. Because many of us have engaged at some point in our lives in a battle, against the poisonous, plants in our psyche. Many of us fought battles for our souls, our integrity, our happiness, and we did it with all sweat and toil. We pruned the weeds, and at least to some extent, our roses, our spirituality emerged. However, at some stage during the struggle, we put down the tools to relax. And at some point, most of us make peace with the status quo, the way that we're holding now. We're not working that much anymore. We've become complacent with our garden. We've put down our tools. We're satisfied with our moral and spiritual condition. Occasionally, which we all do, we may look in the mirror and know that we can do a little better, but we learn to survive and even be happy with our destination the way that we're going now. It's okay. So moral and spiritual complacency, though it's very tempting and easy, is an invitation to not necessarily move forward. That's because of two reasons. First, life, as anyone has heard, people compare, life is like a cliff. If you are not ascending upward, you're falling backward. And the forces of selfishness and darkness never leave you completely. It doesn't leave you. It doesn't go away. And if you drop your guard, failing to fight them every day of your life, they may overtake you. And what is more, truth, emet, is infinite. And the moment we become spiritually fixed in a mode with our condition, we have lost touch with truth and with God. A relationship with God must include a steady yearning, an ongoing search. What was yesterday, what was whole yesterday, is broken today. So Abraham was transfixed by the vision of a human being who, following a successful season of pruning, returned to the plow to commence his spiritual process all over again. As though he or she has never started or never begun. So being complacent, being happy with what we have, is a good, is an okay thing. But we need to have the yearning to transform, to become better, to get to higher heights, to bring out infinity, to bring godliness in. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to make this world a dwelling place, a place that God can say, aha, I want to live here, I want to farm here, I want to be part of it. And that's our job. And we can all become like farmers in the spiritual sense. And I think that's a very important lesson that each and every single individual person can achieve and can do. And you know, this week, we have a group of teenagers, 18 of them, that are going to be spending Shabbos with us from the from NCSY, which is the Jewish Youth Group, from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it as we were talking, that Lech Lecha, they come from Teaneck, New Jersey, but they have a great Jewish life, they have huge Jewish schools and interests, and they come to Windsor, a smaller city, which is amazing, which is a great city to be in.
It definitely
beautiful
is.
Jewish,
yeah.
Jewish community, so on and so forth, but it's different. They have to become adapted, they used to do something that is not the norm. And hopefully we'll be able to give them an amazing experience. So,
we can give them some weed work before the Shabbos too.
Yeah.
To help clean up.
That's right. Yes.
Well, literally.
I have a lot of leaves outside my house.
That's it.
So if they can get it all cleaned up before more snow comes, that would be a good thing too. But we'll see.
I'm sure they will have the best time.
Yes. So God willing.
So Rabbi, what about services this weekend?
So we have services at 5 o'clock in the evening, 5 p.m., and then Shabbat morning 9:30, Sunday morning 8:30, followed by breakfast. Monday and Thursday 7:15, great way to start to work. You're in the office at 8 o'clock, so it's great.
Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and great and warm weekend, even though it looks like it's going to be cold outside.
Yes, but you know, there's someone was telling me that... I'm going to be going to New York in 2 weeks or whatever I think it is. So someone said, you know, it's going to get very cold and you should make sure you bring a coat. So I'm like, listen, hey, come from Canada. Your cold in New York doesn't scare us.
Yeah.
So
your cold is our summer.
Anyway.
Thank you. God willing, we'll have you next week.
We'll be there.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Good Shabbat.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.